Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1833, David O. Rickards.
Good evening, gentlemen. Name is David O. Rickards.
Okay, hang on for a second. We're just going to give a chance to clear the room, and then Mr. Lank has to read the application into the record, and we'll call on you when we're ready. So you can take a seat nearby, right up front here, if you like. And
well, wait, can I just hand this to Mr. Lank?
No, just hang on for a minute, Mr. Rickards. There you go. Good job. Good job. You're doing good. I know. You don't do this every day. I know. But it'll all be fine. Give the folks a minute to get clear of here. They're doing a really good job, though. They're not making a lot of noise, and they're getting out of here, I think, as fast as they can. But it's glad the building's not on fire. Yeah, you never can tell. All right, Mr. Lank, I think we're calmed down to the point.
The next public hearing is conditional use number 1833. The application of David O. Rickards to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an assembly plant for underwater turbines to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 15.38 acres, more or less, lying southeast of Road 367B, also known as Rickards Road, 2,230 feet northeast of Road 370, also known as Daisy Road. For the benefit of the commission, I have passed down a copy of the site plan sketch for the applicant. This application. On November 18th of 2008, the DLDOT provided comments in a form of a support facilities report in reference that a traffic impact study was not recommended, that the current level of service A of Rickards Road at this location will not change as a result of this application. On June 4th of 2010, the Sussex Conservation District provided comments in the form of a memorandum in reference that there are two soil types on this parcel, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas are affected, that it is not likely that off-site drainage improvements will be necessary, that it is highly likely that on-site drainage improvements will be necessary, and that a tax ditch could be affected. On June 7th of 2010, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments in the form of a memorandum in reference that the site is located in the Roxana Planning Area, that the applicant intends to utilize an on-site septic system, that conformity to the South Coastal Planning Study 2005 update will be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. Yesterday, June 9th of 2010, I did receive an email from Raymond L. Burke voicing opposition to this application and referencing that the area is a nice, quiet community of homes and that a business will not benefit the community, that the business may devalue properties, that the road cannot handle tractor-trailer traffic, and that the type of business is more suited for an industrial park setting. Earlier today, June 10, 2010, a petition in opposition was received through fax in reference that this turbine facility would dramatically affect the quality of life in a negative way, including increased traffic and noise and reduced property values, and that such a facility is out of character with a residential rural road that only leads to other rural roads at either end. And that petition was signed by seven individuals. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Rickards.
Okay, thank you, sir. Basically, I'd initially like to pass out my 10-year projection showing the amount of employees.
Just for a second, I have to ask you, for purposes of the record, we need for you to state your name for the record, please.
Okay, the name is David O. Rickards.
Okay.
And I'd like to simply pass these items out. They're showing the amount of proposed employees, if everything goes well, for the next 10 years. Naturally, for the first 2 years, we will have no employees. Hopefully by 2013, we will hire one. And in 2014, we hope to be up to a total of 4 employees. Basically, as far as tractor-trailer traffic, I used to have a chicken farm there, and Purdue shut me down 3.5 years ago. The amount of truck traffic at the end of the 10-year projection may be as high as it was when I had chickens. We're talking probably a total of no more than 100 trucks in and out in a year's time. And they will be during working hours, 8 to 4. We will not have any trucks going in and out nighttime hours like there were when I had chickens. There won't be any noise. The turbine business that I'm doing there is basically a total of maintenance. We're not going to do any manufacturing or anything of that sort. We bring in the equipment every 2 years, refurbishing it. We'll be taking it apart, putting in new bearings, bushings, seals, gaskets, and then sending them back out for operation. The actual fabrication will be done over in Bridgeville, Delaware, with O.A. Newton and Miller Mill. So the only items that will be happening will be the unloading and reloading of the trucks. Everything will be done inside. As far as visibility of any vehicles there for the employees, I've got over 1,000 red cedar trees that I landscaped when I had the chickens. So they're growing nicely, and it'd be very difficult if anybody could even see a vehicle down there. This is not a commercial type of company where there would be individuals going in and out because we do everything for industries. I mean, basically, right now we got a state grant to do one project at the NRG power plant to put one turbine in the 8th floor from their cooling towers. And that's basically what we'll be doing nationwide, hopefully, once we prove the feasibility financially and economically that they can take and buy our equipment, generate electricity, put it right back into their facility without ever having to go on the grid, and pay for the equipment in less than 5 years. So we're hoping that once we can prove this, we'll be able to get at least 0.5% of the companies to come on board for a total of 10 years. And at that point in time, we would be needing up to 30 employees. It's going to take quite a while to accomplish that feat, and it may be a pie in the sky dream. I don't know whether we'll ever get that large. We may get to the point where financially it'll make more sense to open up another shop in another state to take care of another region. If so, then this shop will probably end up having maybe 5 employees. It's not going to be a major thing. It's just going to basically allow me to utilize the buildings that are already there that were in pretty doggone good shape when Purdue decided it was a red zone. They didn't want to have chickens growing in that area anymore. And hopefully pay for my I got a fairly large loan still left to pay. I mean, they left me hanging with about $400,000 to pay back, so I'm trying to find something to utilize those buildings for rather than just tear them down. I mean, they're good, solid structures. They haven't been around for that many years. They're not rusty and looking ugly. I don't think any of the neighbors can hardly even see them from the road anymore because of the trees. So, I mean, I don't see where they're an eyesore. I don't see where the amount of employees that I have would be a additional hindrance to the road. And like I say, the truck traffic will, even if we go to as large of a production as we hope to do, will be less than what I had when I had chickens. So I didn't go around to any of my neighbors and try to coerce them to sign a petition in favor of it. I didn't feel it was necessary. I realized that I had a couple of neighbors that were petitioning against it, and I wish them the best of luck, because I don't see where I can be a hindrance. I don't see where it can harm the value of their land. I mean, we got neighbors like Zapato that has a real large landscaping business going right next door to us. They have a lot of outdoor work. They do make some noise, but even with the number of employees they have, which is significant now, it wasn't when they first started, but it's significant now. But you know, basically, the guys come in around 7:30, they get in their trucks and they go out and they do their work and they come back in. There's a little extra noise on the road. I don't see any additional trash or any problems. And my facility would be nothing in comparison to the amount of traffic and noise that we already see from that.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. We'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Rickards, I just have some questions. How long have you owned the property that's the subject of the application?
I guess since 1970, somewhere in that area.
Okay, so 40 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to plead ignorant to your business. I've been on the commission 6 years. I haven't had an application that has come under this type title for a conditional use. Would you be kind enough to briefly explain again? I heard you talk about refurbishing and all, but about the nature of, explain to me what an assembly plant for underwater turbines accomplishes.
Okay, basically, It allows us to bring in the units every 2 years for maintenance to replace the bearings, the bushings, the seals, the gaskets. In other words, we'll be bringing the unit in, putting it onto a structure or whatever, and having one or two employees tear it down, replace the parts, put it back together, put new lubrication into it, and ship it back out. Naturally, underwater turbines are fairly new, although hydro turbines have been around for many years. The gentleman who invented these and has patents on it, which we've licensed, started his business back in 81 in Annapolis, Maryland. And I got involved in it probably about 7 years ago. We've applied for FERC permits to do an underwater turbine project in the Indian River Inlet. We have gotten grant monies from the state to do the project at the Indian River Power Plant, which basically is utilizing the 8 fluorine cooling towers. It's a cement trough that's about 4 foot deep, 18 foot wide, and 210 foot long. We can generate about 2,000 megawatt hours a year out of that little bugger. It's just basically taking the wasted kinetic energy, creating electricity and putting it right back to the facility to make the facility more operational, more functional, more cost efficient. So basically our units are the small little twin 3-footers that are 3 foot tall, maybe 2.5 foot wide by 6 foot long. And they basically go under the water, generate electricity, and what we'll be doing here at our facility is simply keeping them in top-notch operation so that we have a biannual maintenance contract where we bring them out, refurbish them, put them back in operation.
Okay. So the size of the device then perhaps would be about the size of a jet engine on something like a commercial Lear, a Learjet, something like
well,
that?
I'm not sure. I mean, they're like I say, 3 foot tall by 6 foot wide by 2.5 foot depth.
All right.
Whatever that is, I don't know what a jet engine would look like.
Well, thank you. As I mentioned, I didn't know what it was, and that helps give me a better understanding. Another question that I have that I need to understand, you mentioned that you had been a producer for one of the poultry, and you have these buildings.
Yes.
Is that the why here? Is that the why of the why this particular location to locate this business?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the buildings are there. Naturally, they're in good enough shape so that all I need to do is really pour a cement floor into them, put a break room in there, a restroom in there, add the basically the mound for the septic for the employees. Mm-hmm. And then I got electric, I got lighting, I got water. It was a functional chicken house up until Purdue shut me down and said that it was a red zone, that they didn't want to have chickens in that area anymore because of the Millville Township that was coming so close to us. So they kind of, like I say, left me hanging high and dry with some very nice quality buildings and no way to utilize them in ag anymore. So I'm looking at a way to try to save myself $600,000 company-wise instead of going into an industrial site like over there to Seaford. Save myself a couple hours travel time a day, and also put the buildings that are solid and in good shape back to use.
So would it be fair to say a statement of yours would be that then you would see this by virtue of if the poultry houses were still producing poultry, which they're not, but if they were, that your use would fit into an AR1 zoning district, your planned, hoped-for use of the turbine?
Golly, I don't know how to answer that. Were I still able to grow chickens, I'd still be growing chickens, you know. As a maintenance shop, naturally they really won't be anything dealing with ag. But in the same sense, the amount of truck traffic will still be less than it was when I had chickens. And it'll be confined within normal working hours rather than all hours of the day and night. There'll be no smell, there'll be no noise, because, I mean, basically all we're doing is taking them apart, putting them back together again. There won't be any banging, any noise problems whatsoever in that aspect.
And for your benefit and for the benefit of the public, usually in a conditional use, a line of questioning that myself and the other commissioners will take would be to ask you questions about what your plans are, which is neither an endorsement or opposition. It's an effort to gain some knowledge so we can make the best decision. I'd like to ask you some questions about which days of the week, if this application were approved, your plans are to be open and viable.
Well, basically Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
8 to 4. Would you plan on putting some signage on the property, perhaps out by the road?
No.
To advertise? No.
Like I say, there won't be any need for the JQ public to come in because all we'll be doing is basically refurbishing equipment that will go back into an industrial site.
Would your plans be to have lighting, either of a security or a task lighting?
Well,
nature?
The only lighting will be the lighting that is already there for the chicken house, which is one outside security light at the end of the house. There will be no need for any additional lighting beyond what I already have there.
Okay. Will you have a need for dumpsters and for storage of any outside storage?
No outside storage.
No outside storage.
No.
There wouldn't be any flatbed trailers or
no.
anything like that?
No.
Everything would be inside the present abandoned poultry houses?
Correct. And the trucks will be coming in will be basically container trucks because we'll be having to ship the, if I want to utilize rail if we go out of state. And in order to do that, I'm going to have to transport them by truck over to either the port of Baltimore or the port of Philly to get on a container rail. They don't have container rail available in Shelbyville where the tracks are or anything like that. And I've been told even over in Seaford in the industrial park they don't have container facilities there. So I would basically have to ship them to Baltimore. So, I mean, even if I were into an industrial site like Seaford has available, I wouldn't be able to ship from there other than by truck. So I would have no reason other than being forced into it to go to that kind of industrial site because of the lack of ability to ship in any other manner than I can already do where I'd be given the conditional uses to utilize my own land.
And one last thing, just to reiterate, I believe you said your anticipation would be about the same volume of trucks as when you were a poultry producer.
Correct.
Which was approximately 100 trucks during the course of a year.
Yes, sir.
Or roughly two a week.
Right. Now, that's if we get up and going to the full extent after 10 years. I mean, initially, we're only having one employee. We're looking at a total of 9 units coming in, which is basically one truck. So, I mean, you know, the first few years, we're looking at a total truck traffic of maybe one or two during the whole year.
Right.
After 10 years, when it, you know, if it continued to expand at 0.5% of all the companies nationwide coming on board, then in 10 years' time, we could have enough units coming in to the point where we would need about 100 trucks coming in at night during a year's time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Rickards. That's been helpful to me, and I'm going to yield my time. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross.
The chicken houses are a solid sidewall or curtains, or
They're currently curtains. We would have I'd have to make them solid walls and take out some of the doors, and you know, put in a rolled door instead of the opening doors like you normally have. Things of that sort. There'd be definitely, obviously, maintenance, you know, to do to the houses. But I mean, as far as the roof in and the actual solid structure, they're pretty doggone good. Quality houses.
Pretty well insulated, so the sound
carry
out of those buildings very well. The turbines, you mentioned regional use, but and you also mentioned NRG as a customer or client that would use this type of a underwater turbine or whatever. How many clients would be in the state or in Wicomico County, Sussex County, nearby?
In the state, we'd be looking at NRG, possibly the Wilmington wastewater treatment plant, and maybe one or two others that have 20 million gallons of outflow per day. So there'd be very few in Delaware. You talk to the entire peninsula. I've been to a couple of the rendering plants, the one owned by Tyson and the one owned by Purdue down in Virginia. And they may be able to utilize one unit in each one of their outflows. So if I only go regional, we're not looking at more than a total of 5 employees at the max, at the, you know, peak. But like I say, I'm hoping by being able to use rail, I can go beyond that just a tad anyway.
And you say this is mostly maintenance. Are these employee skills pretty highly skilled, or is this something that you could train?
They can be easily trained. I mean, because basically all we're doing is pulling the runners off, putting in new bearings, seals, gaskets, and putting the runners back on. Very, very, very minimal education-wise. The only thing we're going to be doing is paying them a high scale as far as were they in union, That'd be it'd be union wage.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Burton.
I just have one. You mentioned that you needed a container truck to bring these in and out. Is there a reason for that? Are they?
Excuse me?
Is there a reason why the trucks must be container trucks?
No. Okay. No real reason.
There's no hazardous waste associated with this rebuild
no.
at all?
No. Just that one of my neighbors happens to have a business that has container trucks, and I felt that if I get going, I would like to utilize as many locals as I possibly can.
Okay. No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lane.
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
No, sir. All right, then. If you would take a seat nearby, Mr. Rickard, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1833, David O. Rickard? Yes, ma'am. Step right up.
Good evening. My name is Ann Green. I own and reside on a 6-acre parcel on Rickards Road adjacent to David Rickards. I would like to say that I think a man or a woman should be able to do what they want with the land that they owned within reason. I'm very happy that my neighbor is no longer raising chickens and that he wishes to pursue this alternative energy project. As the parent of a 2010 Indian River High School graduate, the full-time jobs that it produces sound like a plus for our community. As for the tractor-trailer business, I walk every morning and I have a tractor-trailer that passes me and goes into this Fasado landscaping. The men who work there and then the trucks that come out produce a fair amount of traffic between 6:30 and 7:15 a.m., but then that's pretty much it for the rest of the day. And again, that produces a lot of jobs, so I don't think it's a hazard for our neighborhood. I also own a passive solar home in Millville. I drive a 2005 Prius, and my last name is Green. If everybody has the attitude that they don't want these types of projects in their neighborhood, we're all going to be sitting in gas lines again like we were in 1974. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1833? Okay, sir, we'll start with you.
Thank you. My name is Mark West. I live at 34804 Rickards Road. I've lived there for just about 20 years. Before that, I lived about 3/4 mile down the road for the remainder of my life, which is just a little over 40 years. Okay. I do have some photographs which are labeled on the back, which I'd like to present. You can look at these. I'm sorry I don't have 7 copies.
That's fine.
But
that's
you can share them. And, thank you. It'll explain part of the points that I wanted to make this evening. I chose to live on Rickards Road because I was raised there, and I also chosen to raise my family there because it was a residential road. Okay. As far as the chickens go, my grandfather raised chickens, and when I smell chickens, I smell money, okay? So that doesn't bother me. There's just roughly over 30 houses on Rickards Road. It's just a little over a mile long, and in those houses, we have elementary, middle school, and high school kids, so we do have buses from all three schools coming up down Rickards Road, okay? Rickards Road itself is a tar and chip road, which is approximately 19 feet 7 inches wide, which versus Route 17, which is a marked road with shoulders on both sides, it measures 37 feet 2 inches, okay? My son and I took a ride last Saturday and did a little bit of research just to kind of get an idea of what we're up against here, okay? We took a ride 7 miles up the road to Selbyville where there is an industrial park, and one of those pictures shows the entrance to the industrial park in Selbyville. Those roads in the industrial park are 30 feet 1 inch wide, okay? These industrial parks are designed for these type of facilities. The county has designed industrial parks for these purposes. There isn't a need to take residential land and turn it into an industrial park just because Mr. Rickards has poultry houses that he can no longer use. I sympathize with him. I'm sorry Purdue dropped him. I don't have a problem with his business plan. I'm an electrician myself, and green is great, okay? But let's not all jump on the green bandwagon just because we want to have some underwater turbines processed. He's going for a conditional use zoning change on an AR1. And to my understanding, an AR1 zoning change to conditional use can only be done if that conditional use is agriculture related. Underwater turbines, as far as I know, are not agriculture related, okay? These industrial parks have infrastructure, which restaurants, facilities, gas stations, the employees could use to fill up their cars and this and that. There's none of that where we are. The closest one is down the road about 4 miles. He's going for a zoning change of 15 acres. And he has a plan for 10 years of being 30 employees. But if these turbines take off with 100 trucks a year, if these turbines take off, that could double, triple, or quadruple. I don't know. No one in this room, including Mr. Rickers, doesn't know if that'll happen. I can't take that chance. I've invested a lot of money in my property. And I'd like to pass that on to my children as well. Okay? I think that if we do have this zoning change on Rickards Road, we will be setting a precedence for other properties along Rickards Road. There's a 7-acre parcel right next door to my property, which could have a zoning change, and we could have something else there as well. Okay? But there's, and if he gets the conditional use zoning change, there's nothing to stop him from selling that to, say, A.O. Newton, and letting them come over and start their facility there and start manufacturing the actual turbines there as well. So those are my arguments against this zoning change. And I thank you very much for your time.
Lawrence, sir, we thank you. All right, and who's next? Come on, yes, sir. Come on.
Good evening, Council. Mike Quishen, 34820 Rickards Road. I've lived at Rickards Road for approximately 10 years now. I moved to the country to be in the country. I bought the 7 acres next to Mr. West there. As a self-employed builder, realtor, National Guard service member, I respect Mr. Rickards' business plan. I am a green builder. I drive a 2007 Prius. There's a lot of question as to the ecological impacts of these turbines, so I'm not on board as in favor of the turbines for their ecological benefit. I am a former employee of Purdue, and my knowledge of Purdue and why they would drop a farmer is not of these red zones per se. I know anyone with newer houses, wind tunnels, was of great value to them, and they were seeking them out because of the attrition of, excuse me, the older houses. I would like to see something in writing stating that that was the sole reason for
me. That's really not a material issue for us.
That's fine.
I just want to let you know, because I know you don't come here every
no,
week.
No, sir.
That the matter and the decision that this group has to make is whether or not that site is appropriate for that type of activity.
Yes, sir.
So really what happened before with the why the Purdue took the chickens, all that stuff, that's really not
okay. I understand, sir.
You know, it's not anything we really need to know, but I know you don't know that, and that's why
okay.
I want to share that.
Well my property does border Mr. Rickards in the back. It actually borders the four houses with a tax ditch in between, and there is a service road that goes around. My plan is well for my three children. I don't have a 401k as a sole proprietor. My investment is that land, and I'd hope to raise my children would have be able to build on that land in a residential area as well. It was very strategic where I purchased. At the time, there was only one small landscape operation, maybe four trucks, which, you know, we as a community have been victimized by exponential growth once approving that transfer of conditional use. And I don't know personally what it takes to undo a conditional use. It says conditional, which to me spells that it can be undone, but I'd be interested to know what it would take should that grow exponentially as this landscape
There's a gentleman standing in the back of the room who would be happy to see you afterwards.
Okay, that'd be terrific.
Those situations. However, he may send you a bill.
Okay.
You'll need to consult some counsel on that, sir.
Not a problem.
Really can't give you that.
But I can speak to maybe the truck traffic is not equal or less to what has been done, but I can speak to employee traffic. I jog Rickards Road to stay in shape. And when you have 20 vehicles coming in, then you have work trucks and trailers going out. These trucks and trailers come back, as well as lunch in and out, and then you have 20 employee trucks leaving. 80 to 100 vehicles added to a 30-home residential road. That one business, which we graciously said, okay, you know, you want to have a business, you know, it's not out of character, has turned into a nightmare. So I'm very hesitant to say any other business on that road. I'm very fearful and don't know if I would stay in that area should this be approved. To hear of a regional, possibly a national operation, you know, on this, a road that goes nowhere. I mean, you have Byard Road. It goes somewhere. It's alternate 54. You have Route 17. It's a fair, like Mr. West explained, the size of the road. Mm-hmm. Ours is a small, non-paved road that goes nowhere. It goes to Pepper's Corner, and it goes to Daisy Road, both other residential roads. I don't know how a business would want to locate on a road that goes nowhere, but, I mean, we've heard the reason. I did take the survey. I found out about this in the 11th hour. The public hearing notice had a different date on it, on the yellow sign I jogged past. I believe it's the 29th. There's a different date on that sign, I believe.
County Council.
I must be the County Council.
It has two dates.
Has two dates on it. That's right. That's
okay. I thought I had more time, but Mr. West had sent this notice out.
You actually do, because because we make a recommendation, and then there's another hearing in front of County Council, so you'll get a second opportunity to speak.
Well, I appreciate that. In about an hour and a half of going out, you know, in the middle of the day when most people were at work, I was able to gather 5 signatures besides my wife and I, and you'll see they're very shaky. They're mostly retirees.
You want to hand that up to Mr. Link, and now that will become part of the record. We can't give that back to you.
Need a fax copy.
Yes, sir. And they said I had to bring the original for it to count. So that's all for me. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay. Anyone else on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.